recently, a friend of mine sent me a clip that I think really captures what this program, this movement, this idea of creating or dying is all about. It's from a famous actor, Dennis Hopper. So if you want to see what that's all about, you want to hear the clip, you want to see what I'm talking about, well, keep it right here. That's right, my friends. Another episode of Create or Die, episode number 73, I believe. And I've got some making up to do. I apologize. These are coming out about every 10 days as opposed to every week like they should. But we'll catch up. It's all good. We're still on the weekly for the most part, right? Was it my last episode or the one before that? I think I kind of mentioned, personally, some of the things that I'm going through that my family, extended family, is experiencing, and talked about the cancer diagnosis of my mother. And, you know, between the last episode and now, she succumbed to that horrible disease, and it was really hard to see her decline so quickly. And to someone, a fellow creator, someone who had a lot to do with instilling my need to create, is no longer with us in mortality. But I do believe she's in a better place. I do believe that I will see her again. And I'm just so thankful and grateful to all of you for your support, your love. It's much, much appreciated. So thank you. And in thinking about that, I had to kind of think, well, do I put this on hold? You know, do I stop living myself? And honestly, when I think about what my mother would want, she'd want me to live this life to the fullest. And for me, and maybe you can relate a little bit, that if I couldn't create, if I couldn't talk about creating, if I couldn't create content, if I didn't have an outlet, I would literally die as well. And so, you know, and I've learned that not everybody necessarily feels that way. And that cues up kind of this clip that my good buddy, the popcorn priest, Christopher Compton, shared with me through Instagram a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was just a week ago, and it, yeah, really resonated with me. And it talks about, this is Dennis Hopper again, famous actor, maybe some of you younger generation aren't familiar with him, but been in some big productions. But he talks about, he's obviously talking to probably a group of wannabe actors at some school that he's the special guest speaker at or something. And he lays it right out there, what it means to create and the difference between a creator and a normal human being. So listen to this. Let's see.
Just ask yourself, if it were denied you to create, if it were denied you to create, if it were denied you to act or to paint or whatever compulsive creative thing that you do, if that were denied you, would you truly die? If your answer is yes, then there is no poor and indifferent place for you. There is only a place of creation, and that's the only place that you'll live. And if your answer is no, then for God's sake, give up creating, don't create, go out and find yourself a reasonable, responsible life, and have a wonderful life, and enjoy watching other people create. But don't confuse the two, because a creator is a creator, and that's what he is.
I think that hits the spot on. I mean, for me, you know, I find myself not just appreciating what others have created, and I do that. And most recently, Dune Part 2, if you haven't seen it, ticks all the boxes, let me tell you. You know, I was a big fan of the original series from back in the 80s, and thought that, you know, there was no way that that would ever be topped. I mean, sure, it's the 80s, there's some kind of overacting and super 80s type stuff in there, but was super true to the book, came alive for me. I really enjoyed it. But this one, man, it just was so good and such a breath of fresh air. And so going to the cinema, going out there, sitting in the seat, eating your popcorn, drinking your Coke. Maybe you're lucky like me and you live close to a Fat Cat's and you can get a pizza as well, right? But, you know, there are no devices. There's no multitasking. It's just the movie. And there have been too many movies, in my opinion, lately that are just, let's throw everything at you we can. You know, here's a million different superheroes and supervillains fighting against each other, and it's so fast-paced and just a blur of special effects and 3D, which I know sounds crazy because I love that stuff. I love superheroes, you know, but give me Batman. Give me Batman Returns. Give me Batman Begins, you know, where we're focused on one hero and one villain, maybe two, and you get to see the backstory of those characters really develop. It's not, you know, oh, I can't handle it, this is a bigger threat than ever, let's team up and let's just constantly be battling, because that's the goal, is to see how many effect shots we can fit into, you know, 120 minutes or whatever. So, Dune, a breath of fresh air, and I know I've gotten off off task a little bit, because back to what Dennis Hopper was saying, is that there are those of you out there who just get super excited about consuming the creative product of others, right? Be it a movie, be it, you know, a comic book, a painting, whatever, right? And that's fine. That is great. That is probably preferable, because then you can just detach yourself from the world and really consume that thing and not have to be, you know, experiencing this battle within of like, oh wow, now that it's part of me, I've consumed this thing and I want to create something as beautiful, as meaningful, maybe just to pay homage to this thing that meant so much to me. I want to do fan art, whatever. I want to become an actor so that I can, you know, so convincingly portray this historical figure, or this figure that someone dreamt up. You know, I want to write. I want to create the next amazing, you know, trilogy, saga, the next American novel, whatever. You know, it, and then your mind is just 100% consumed with that thing. And like my first episode, I'll ask you, am I alone? You know, I don't think so. Obviously, Dennis Hopper is telling me that that's how he feels, to the point where, you know, this program, we try to be inclusive, and we say, you know, all y'all are creators, you're welcome, come join, create, because I assume that everyone is like me and has this God-given gift and need and desire to create. But just like anything, you know, we're all different, we're all unique, and for every person that needs to create here in mortality, there's another who is there to maybe appreciate that, and that it gives them real meaning and happiness and joy or whatever, so that they can go and do, like Dennis Hopper mentioned, you know, go and do responsible things, go and have a great life, you know, where you can appreciate other creations and you don't have to be that creator. You probably know people like this, you know, they just say, I just love nature, they just love being in nature. And whether they believe that that was created by a higher power, or it's just nature and a beautiful accident, doesn't matter to them. They just appreciate it. And so, you know, I follow several of them on social media, and they're posting images of their hike, or they're recording themselves and creating content, which is being creative by definition, right? But what they really love is that appreciation of something that has been created. And I would argue by a creator. And so for those of you who answered Mr. Hopper's question, in the affirmative, saying that yes, you would die if you couldn't create, well, welcome. You are among friends, my friend, and you understand what it means to create or die. And if we look back at where and what that name was inspired by, it was inspired by Skate or Die, right? Something that I realized early on that I wasn't the best at skating. I could get from point A to point B on a skateboard, you know, back in the 80s, and that was fun. But then when I tried to get back into it, late 90s, early 2000s, I was that much older, and you know, just a tall, bigger boned gentleman, not near as big boned as I am now. Yeah, whatever. But you know, just struggled, couldn't for the life of me do an ollie or a kickflip. I could, you know, get around on it. I could drop in the skate park and kind of cruise around, and that was the extent of it. Rollerblading, on the other hand, you know, got a little better at. But yeah, again, I digress. But I could understand, you know, when I was doing that, I could understand this whole mantra of skate or die. But I would always go back to my first love, which was creating, drawing, you know, painting, building something with my hands, imagining, conjuring up fun little stories that I used to, you know, peck out on my grandfather's circa 40s or 50s typewriter. And yeah, I've never been a good writer per se, but I've enjoyed coming up with some stories. And that's where, when I had the most joy, you know. I was blessed to do a lot of different things growing up. You know, I played soccer, I played football, I did some track and field, more of the field side of things, the discus and the shot put. You know, I've been camping, I've been boating, water skiing, and all those kinds of things, and got a lot of joy from them. But it's funny, you know, any of those things could be taken away and I could still live. You take away my ability to create, to draw, to get out somehow this idea of in my mind or in my heart, in my soul, in my every being, to not have a way to pull that out and put it into reality in some form or another, I'm starting to get anxious just thinking about it. You know, that is unbearable. That is unbearable. Now, I would, just like those, you know, several would say, hey, you know, I'd lay down my life for you, or I'd give up everything for you, and that's how I feel about my wife, my family, my kids. You know, I would give up this thing that would cause me to die, being able to create for my loved one like that. So, you know, assuming my loved ones might listen to this one day, just know that that is how much I love you. And so, I'm talking about this thing, this ability to create. And if you want to get real deep, you know, in some ways I'm helping to, well, I participated in creating my children, right? probably don't want to hear this, right? That's the end of that discussion. But I'm participating in creating their future, in creating a living for them now, in helping to mold them into good humans and people that will contribute to society and the meaning of life in a positive way, you know, and in those forms I am creating as well. So I think that's where, you know, I kind of differ with Dennis Hopper there, is, you know, I truly believe that everyone creates in one way or another. But when it comes to the arts, what people normally think of when they think of someone who is creative, you know, he's right. There are definitely more sure ways, especially traditionally, to, you know, make a living, provide for your family. You know, there are skills, trades, knowledge that can be gained that maybe have a more traditional path associated with them. And until the past couple of years, I would have said that one of those things is programming, right? The computer science side of things. But it's crazy to hear people, like I saw a clip from Mr. Shark Tank himself, what's his name? Owner of the Dallas Mavericks. It escapes me. But, you know, and I think he's in the process of selling the team too. Mark Cuban, yeah. So he was basically saying, like, yeah, you know, the future with AI is the automation of automation. So where a programmer came in, and he knows, he himself was a programmer and has learned to think that way and speak in terms that a computer can understand. You know, he was quick to say, you know, if you are someone who is a slave to the software and essentially one of those lower level developers who are constantly on GitHub or GitLab or whatever those sites are where you can get some help with your coding, and they're, you know enough to kind of steal from the right places to create, you know, this piece of code or a program, then, you know, you can kiss your job goodbye, because, you know, these LLMs, these large language models, machine learning stuff, they have got that figured out and can do it, you know, almost instantly. So you need to be someone who can think outside of the box, that can really plan, that knows their stuff inside and out, and can leverage AI to get things done more quickly, then yeah, you've still got some value there. And then you hear from the CEO of NVIDIA, and don't even know his name, but yeah, he believes that the same thing, that, you know, we've done that. Basically, a programmer had to retrain their mind to think like a computer to get it to do, you know, what you wanted it to do. You know, this decision-based framework of things, of if, then, else statements, and be able to just think real simply in binary terms, right? It's either a yes or a no, and if it's yes, you go this way. If it's no, you stop, or you go that way, whatever. But that, thanks to the advancements in AI over the past couple years, that you can now speak in plain English or Spanish or German, whatever your language is, and these LLMs will understand that and build what it is you're asking them to build, right? And to take it a step further, there's, I forget who released it, Microsoft or someone, this Devin, who is the first kind of AI who can actually plan and is specifically built to be a programmer. And why they chose the name Devin, I don't know. Developer, dev on, maybe, probably. So yeah, they're coming for your jobs, right? So we got to get real creative on what does work look like in the future. And in this conversation with Mark Cuban, that I don't remember if it was, he was talking to Lex Fridman or some big podcaster. I don't think it was Lex. He would have been, wouldn't have asked some of these dumb questions. But essentially, you know, well, okay, then we pay for people to go back to school and learn these skills, right? And Mark is like, what are you talking about? What skills? What can you go and learn that AI can't learn in a matter of minutes or seconds even? And so what does that mean for the future? You know, Mark Cuban felt like those who were creative thinkers, you know, and could put things together from a high level and come at problems from different directions that maybe AI wouldn't think to do, that those are the people that will thrive, at least in the midterm. But, you know, so this could be a doom and gloom type of thing where it's like, you know, everything that we white collar people have done to provide for our families, to create a living, can be done so much easier and more quickly by AI. And even physical manual labor things, I mean, those are the things we thought would go first. You know, we have all these machines that took all these manufacturing jobs, or you go to McDonald's or even Chick-fil-A now and you order from a touchscreen. You're going through the drive-thru and they're encouraging you to use your app. And if you did, then it's just, okay, what's your number? You know, LC81. And that's it. They don't have to take your order. It's there. And so jobs are going to be more and more scarce. At least what we, you know, and I'm not qualified to talk about this stuff. It's just one dude's opinion. But it makes me think. And it's like, okay, as someone who creates and is in competition in some way with Midjourney and DALL-E and what's the name, Sora and whatever, is there a place for me in the future? You know, and I've talked about this several times on this program that I believe that there is, you know, and that as CEOs try to circumvent a creative and talk to Midjourney to get the images and designs that they want, that it ends up looking like AI, and therefore there is no heart and soul in your design, and therefore the humans that you are trying to get to buy your product, right, they no longer resonate with that, you know, and that AI, the promise is, just like computers were in the beginning, people thought, oh, you just push a button and it makes Toy Story for you, right? But that sounds absurd now. I mean, it still takes 400 people 2 to 4 years to make a big animated feature like that. Now, I believe that in the right hands, AI can be leveraged to do a lot of the work that was time consuming. You know, rotoscoping, retopology, you know, maybe some concept art stuff or initial story idea generation, or let's use AI to find holes in these different areas and try things out really quickly. And then once we've landed on the general direction that was input by the original humans and then iterated on by AI and then brought back to humans to really massage and make amazing, similar to what happens with motion capture and animation. Like if you have a character that is animated using motion capture and you just run with that, there's going to be something missing, because animation is an exaggeration and pretty hard, if not impossible, for a human to do the necessary actions to the level that it needs to be done in order to really read on the 2D screen or whatever. Man, I've introduced a lot of fun things that we could just dive in and spend a whole series of episodes on. But so that's one way that I'm thinking, you know, of how AI will be leveraged, and that new jobs will be created. I mean, we're already seeing things like, you know, prompt engineer, right? I think there will be more value put on senior creatives who are more generalists, who are just curious, who have this need to create, and, you know, in the past would have spent months to learn how to rig their 3D model just so they could make it move someday, so that they, you know, but they didn't necessarily enjoy the rigging process, and so let's get AI to do that. Whatever, that's one path, is that AI is going to take what it is we don't necessarily love to do, and for each of us that's different, and help to fill in some gaps. So that's one model. The other model is Star Trek. What do I mean by that? Well, if I understand it correctly, and I've watched a fair bit of Star Trek, okay, and they have been right on so many levels, and I think that's because there was a lot of smart people getting together thinking about, you know, what I want the future to look like, and enough of us share in that vision that we see something that's a communicator that can communicate to anyone on the world instantly, then we're like, we want that. How can we make that? Right now we're tied to landline phones, and then boom, birth of the cell phone, and then computer in your pocket, which is a tricorder basically, and then talking to a computer. In Star Trek they were always listening. The computer was all, just like our Siri or Alexa. It was like, computer, where is Lieutenant LaForge? Lieutenant LaForge is currently on the holodeck, and holodeck, VR, AR, right? XR, spatial computing. So where the hell are you going with this again, Ike? Besides demonstrating just how nerdy you are, right? Is that okay? We're all on the same page. Now, where I'm going with that is that the people at that time who were members of the Federation no longer needed to work, because technology had reached a level that was so advanced where things that were needed, you know, whether it's food, knowledge, shelter, entertainment, whatever, could be created almost instantly. You know, hey, Mr. Well, it's a thing. Replicator, you know. I want a cheeseburger. Okay, great. There you go. And then the replicators would have safety measures put on them. Like you couldn't say, hey, replicator, I want a machine gun. Okay, no problem. Boom. And I can take everyone out. Those things were regulated. Right? And the AI is probably smart enough to where if you start asking for the parts, that will, excuse me, create this item of mass destruction, that they're not going to allow you to do that. But regardless, people didn't have to work because the need for food solved. You know, housing, shelter was just so affordable, essentially, because, you know, things are being built by nanobots or 3D printed or whatever, and they're using the atoms that are all around us and reassembling them into whatever you need, that providing for your family and, you know, scrimping and saving for this necessity of life was no longer needed. So are we going to go to that model? And honestly, there are things that scare me about that. You know, like, that's great if everybody is playing fair and they're not trying to hoard this technology for themselves and somehow profit from it and or, you know, create different classes. Like, oh, you're the people that are just the peasants and serfs who are happy to just live in your little 300 square foot dome and consume whatever it is we tell you to, that you can consume, because we're trying to keep, you know, communism basically, which, you know, is not good, because we've seen human nature and that those that with power essentially take advantage of it, and then it creates a class of people who believe that they can't go and be all that they can be. I think work, whether you're digging ditches, you know, planting and harvesting your crops, whatever it is to provide for your family, that is something that we as humans need to feel like we have a purpose. You know, we could get into mental health type of stuff, and you know, what does that do to a human being if they are just, you know, they could work really hard and there's nothing to show for it, right? Or they could just sit and veg on the couch all day long and it doesn't matter, because you're still given the same amount of stuff. Your family is still provided for, or it's, you know, because it doesn't matter. You know, and I think that the hope is that we would put value on other things. You know, and we can look at our current culture and where we've come in the past 40, 50 years, it's my lifetime or whatever. It's like, back then, you had a few channels and you watched what you were given. TV advertising was king. And then now, so you would go to the movie theater because that was a film that needed to be seen on the big screen, right? But now we have movie theaters in our homes. Even our big screen TVs are pretty amazing. Whoops. Got logged out on my computer here, which probably doesn't matter, but they're still part of us. There's still a place that likes to go to the movie theater, you know? the popcorn tastes better there. We don't feel the need to have to, you know, if you're a creative that has to create, like we were talking about in the beginning, you don't feel like, well, I've got to be multitasking and creating because I feel guilty, you know. And then even to take it a step further, you know, the movie industry, the radio, the TV, all of those technologies were supposed to kill the other disciplines, the traditional, you know, go to the theater and watch a play, you know, or a musical, or an opera, or a symphony, because why go pay a bunch of money for that when I can get it at home for free? Well, because it's an experience, and it's a, there's an appreciation there. Like I think I mentioned on this this program, you know, several episodes ago, that when I went to go see Les Miserables, back, was it last summer? You know, it was just so impressive to see those actors be vulnerable day in, day out, get out there, know their own vocal cords well enough, and have the confidence to open their mouth and let this beautiful music and performance pour out. And then everybody in the audience knows how impressive that is, and that here there's a human in front of all of us, or multiple, being vulnerable, and you have all of these eyes and ears and focus on what is happening on that stage. And it's like we're all lifting that person up and willing them to make it through. And you know that this play or musical or live performance, you've probably heard the songs before, and so you know that this part is coming up that's just, you know, so amazing, because they have to reach this range that you know yourself could not reach and yet they do it and they nail it, and then the emotion is there because you hear it in their voice, you see it in their face, you feel it, it's electric in the air, that when that perfect performance has finished, we just erupt in applause, standing ovation. That person feels so good, and so that'll always be there, right? As humans, we need other humans. We celebrate what the human body, the human mind, the human's ability to create, we celebrate that. So whenever we see an imposter, a computer, an artificial life try to, or very successfully replicate that, we dismiss it as, well, that's a machine, they're stealing from others, you know, that's not fair, this is so dumb, and we want to fight against it, right? When in reality, we're all stealing from each other. We're inspired by things that we see. We consciously or subconsciously take things that impressed us and maybe even assume that we thought of it when we saw it through, you know, before, through one of our scrolls through ArtStation or Pinterest or whatever. But regardless, we know that it takes decades for a human to become expert at something, and then to see what that human can create with their weak flawed, fleeting human mind and body, right? Then that all of a sudden there's more value attributed to that. Or if it's a human that we love and admire, come to love and admire, and then they create that, it, you know, we attach ourselves to that person's brand or that company's brand or whatever. And so that's why we consume it and want to patronize it and give it or them our money, right? These are just things that are knocking around in my melon. And maybe you agree, maybe you don't. That's okay, let me know. But it's hard to believe that this all came from the thought from our boy Dennis Hopper there with regards to someone's need to create or not, right? Like if you are someone who wouldn't die if they couldn't create, but they'd be happy to just be in nature every day and out walking and or doing a sport or, you know, competing in one way or the other or enjoying their time with their family, and you did that nonstop and you're more than happy with that, and then great, go do that for the love of all that's holy, right? But for those of us who, when we're out in nature and we see these beautiful vistas, we're not just thinking, wow, that's beautiful. We're thinking, how can I pay my homage, whatever the term is, to that? I need to go, like, write a poem about it. I need to paint a scene that is from my perspective of what that beautiful sunrise looked like. Or a song that when you hear it, you just feel the warmth of spring and creation, right? And that's something that you just have to do. It's not, oh, if I'm bored, that'd be, you know, something I might try my hand at. But I'd much rather be out recreating nonstop. Like, you've heard me talk. I love to be out boating. I love to do stuff with my family. And that I believe that that is great. Because if all we're doing is, you know, drawing digitally or creating designs digitally, and we're, and all that we consume are our peers or mentors or other people that we're impressed by their digital creations, and that's our input, then yeah, our output is going to be just an amalgamation of that, right? And so it's so important that we have our other things that break up the time when we are actually creating, because that helps inform more creation for someone who, like me, is a creator. You know, everything that you do, every experience you've had is helping to build and manifest those creations. And that is what makes it unique and different. Because an AI can create something that's super cool, and we can, you know, ascribe our own feelings and stuff to that and why it might look the way it does and invent backstories or whatever, but that AI is just a tool in the end. Freaking tool. So I've gone on, I've talked. Thank you for hanging in there with me. And again, grateful to my mother, and sorry to see her passing. And I dedicate this episode and every future creation that I produce to her, because she was most instrumental in helping me believe that I could achieve my dreams. And believe it or not, this right here is a big part of that. It's my ability, my opportunity rather, to share with whoever wants to listen my innermost thoughts about what I live for next to my family, which is the need to create. So until next time, my friends, keep on creating. Create or die.